Let's get started very quickly now. Let's take a look at the big stories this morning. Okay, good. We're going to start with the Vanguard newspaper, page 14 of the Vanguard. This story here says Saudi Arabia suspends flight from Nigeria over Omicron variant.
Would we say that's another case of apartheid? I think that the truth will be staring us in the face now. With this story written by Victoria Ojeme. And the story says that Saudi Arabia has suspended all flights from Nigeria. They are not even saying all flights. They said there were unconfirmed reports yesterday that there were preparations for repatriating Nigerians in the kingdom over Omicron. That is, they want to repatriate Nigerians. So not only are they blocking their whatever, they also go to repatriate Nigerians. But several sources in the consulate of Saudi Arabia in Kano, as well as officials of the international, have confirmed that there was an order to restrict flights from Nigeria over Omicron. I think this now would bring us back to reality, and we need to do the needful. What I expect Nigeria to do now is to engage these two countries quietly, you know, agree on protocols that would make traveling easier between the two countries, rather than huffing and puffing and trying to blow the house down. That is the least that we can do. In fact, probably the only thing we need to do. All this grand, you know, huffing and puffing and whatever. Look, who needs the other person more now, you know, in the world that we live in? So that's where we are, and this might last at least for another 3 months. What's the reaction been so far? Some Nigerians said that they think that they are following suit. They are following the British government, whatever. But top airline operators said they could not confirm development as two flights, Qatar and Badar, left Abuja for Jeddah on Wednesday morning. The General Authority of Civil Aviation in Saudi Arabia later confirmed the flight suspension in a circular to all airlines operating in the kingdom. Nigeria currently has six confirmed cases of Omicron virus. But the funny thing is this: nobody believes your numbers. Okay,
nobody believes your system.
Nobody believes your numbers.
They believe you can just anybody can purchase anything.
Yes,
anybody can.
So there's no data to go by. So we need to brush up that angle, and then, you know, if we need assistance in doing these things, so be it. Before we become a pariah state in the world, it's very unfortunate. This is the kind of thing that, in normal times, if it wasn't for the myriad of crises that we had, would almost put a government to question for putting us in a position, in a very embarrassing position in the world. We're gradually becoming a pariah state. Apartheid, call apartheid me. Are we the only African countries? We just behave like crybabies and spoiled children. You'd never get anything right. You never get anything right. The simplest of things becomes politicized. A child dies in a secondary school under some controversial circumstances, and it takes over a week for the authorities to kick in. Then we have to wait until the House of Reps to instruct the inspector. I've never seen the Prime Minister instruct the Chief of Police on what to do. He knows his job. He doesn't need to be invited. He knows his job. He knows the powers that he has and what is expected of him. In 2023, we have to get it right. Enough of this national disgrace that we have. I mean, what do you think, Chair?
It's
becoming very embarrassing. Extremely, in the Committee of Nations now, we don't even have, to be honest with you, we don't have a statesman position. In the days of Yob, Azikiwe would wake up in the world and say something, and the world would shake. He could stand side by side with Kwame Nkrumah and Yerere, all of them. Azikiwe went to Howard University. He had a PhD, well spoken. He could speak extempore for hours on end. Even at premiers then, Awolowo, all of them. Yes, go Google and hear the Saldana speak. But what do we have now? We are an indebted nation. We are so buried in debt. we have absolutely no standing. Look at the one, not to bring him down, but look at the ambassador we presented to America some years back. I mean, what kind of a country are we? I don't understand these things. I'm sorry. And then your ambassador goes and says it's some appetite something because people who are going to make money from you coming to there. Don't forget that the educational system in the United Kingdom, some part of it, is predicated on foreigners coming into their universities. Mm-hmm. And we take a large chunk of it because we can't run our own universities well back home. And we, in spite of all this, they say, look, for health reasons and for the security of our people, stay home. And we start crying like crybabies. It's because our leaders, most of them, their kids are good. They need to come back from school, to come back for holidays and go back. Mm. They haven't. The King's Colleges that they went to, they've abandoned it. All the schools, good schools they went to, they've abandoned it. And now they've shipped their children abroad and now putting the rest of us under pressure. Apartheid call.
Hepatitis.
I beg second base.
Second base. Doane College, 5 arrested students remanded in juvenile home. That's the story here on page 10 of the Vanguard.
Well, you missed him. This is the number one story.
Mm. Because you mentioned the school.
The school, yes. But I also mentioned
this one.
Yeah, but don't worry. Well, it's just the latest on Doane College. And is it Doane or Doane?
Same thing.
Okay, D-O-W-E-N. Mm. 5 arrested students remanded in juvenile home. I didn't even know we still had these juvenile homes. I remember when I was young, we had the Leomo Alaikmoro or something like that in Yaba.
Is that
then there was another one in Isheri. And every time your parents would threaten you, my mom, officer, I will take you to, there was one behind us in Sabu, I'll take you to the one in Isheri. I didn't know we still had that. Mm. But Buhari has stepped in and he says that those involved won't be spared. Okay? And Doane College parents say Sylvester's death will help correct other errors. So if I were a Doane College parent, I'd be an ex-parent by now. Mm. There's obviously something going on there that's not too palatable.
Yeah.
And there's a group that has protested. A group of concerned citizens say that they demand the deregistration of the school. I think that demand is a bit premature. Let's see where all this is going.
Yeah.
But if the school is implicated in any manner, then we would have to all join those who believe that it should be deregistered. It means that the owners of the school is run a school. The school is something that are money. Just like you already done. When people were saying, is that belongs to us? And they were right. We are holding space. Yes, the commander said that. It's not. You must have that spirit. That's why if you look at the likes of Taisho Lani and the way they ran schools way back then. Mm. Anyway, that issue will come up. And also, there's a story here now that former governor of Ogun State, Aremo Oshoba, he arrived. He had gone for a surgery in the UK.
Mm.
And he arrived, and then members of the Ogun State Executive Council all went en masse to visit him in his Ikoyi residence. Welcome back, sir. He's my senior in the profession and is also was not even my senior in school. I never met him in school. So we are connected in two ways. But, sir, both you and your colleagues, could you please, at some point, the APC especially, who placed a premium on turning Nigeria around, and I've been in control of some areas 20 years. Actually, you just came back and you are back.
Yeah.
Could we have you give us a commitment in the next 3 or 4 years to have first-class hospitals that will stop making going for medical treatment look like a pilgrimage?
Yeah.
And the attendant money that follows it therein. Some senators had come to see you in the UK. You played host to them. I don't know if public funds are involved in all that. Maybe, maybe not. But we all know. We know what we know. Apologies, Akinwumi Ambode, in case you're listening. We know what we know. This idea of, I don't know where we got this habit. I thought we had left it with us since we got independence. Flying abroad for treatment. Going abroad for treatment and coming back as if, you'd gone on some pilgrimage and whatever.
Yeah.
Because the question is this. What does it tell the citizens that you rule over? What does it tell the citizens that you ask for their votes, when you make everything look like a privilege, why would the whole Ogun State Council leave Abeokuta with so many things for them to bother about with the governor and head to your house to pay? Is there a prerogative?
Expecting.
No. These little things all add up.
Elder.
These little things add up. And I think it's time we put a stop. In normal countries, do these things happen? Everything becomes a carnival. When Achiwaju went, everybody was struggling to hop on the plane. At whose expense? And then what is most significant is, because if you're a leader, what is the message that, would it be anything less if you went for treatment? I'm not saying October now, just generally. If you went for treatment and came back and retired quietly to your home, and when you are well enough, you would be the one paying them a visit and not the other way around. We need to do a rethink about how we do our things, especially us, the followers. For the followers, you will do this over and over again. You will work for them. And when the time comes for the rewards, it goes to their relatives, it goes to their children, it goes to their sons and daughters. But all the same, I'm happy to see you back, sir. Most happy to see you. Mm. And I wish you the best. Ah, by the way, today is his wife's 70th birthday. So I wish her a happy birthday.
Okay. We're going to stay with the Vanguard. Let's go to page 7 of the Vanguard. Ojodu truck accident. Parents protest forces Lagos State government to close schools.
Yes, I think the government should have. I mean, that would have been a given. But it took the parents going there again to now get them to close the school. They should have closed the school almost immediately. At least, if anything, to let temper school a bit. But some of the stories we are getting here is one says that we paid an initial deposit of 30,000 at the hospitals where they had to take their children for treatment. By the way, Sheriff, I think you need to do something about the cost of healthcare. It's becoming astronomical. It's becoming worrisome. You'd be lucky outside Manila.
You mean we should have a program on it?
You should have a program on it, yes. Outside typhoid and malaria.
Yeah.
Heaven help you if you have other challenges.
Yeah.
The test alone will kill you.
I always say that. Look, just don't fall sick. Mm. You're just one sickness away from being poor.
Yeah.
One sickness away.
Yes. Mm. Because he says that we paid 30,000 initially and is a Uber driver. Mm. NANS have demanded justice on this issue. The council boss, the executive chairman of Ojodu local government, Odumbaku, now confirmed that only two students died, but there are still two lives lost anyway. And the FIRC also confirmed that figure. The Lagos State government says, Mrs. Adifisayo says, we closed the school down because we need the students to calm down. Well, we said that already. And students' death is sad and unfortunate, says Sanwo-Olu. And Buhari has stepped in. Buhari issued a statement by his media publicity chief, Femi Adesina, and he condoled the government and people of Lagos State and the authorities and so on and so forth. And LASMA has disassociated his men from the incident because we are hearing, actually, there must be some kind of quick inquiry into what has happened.
Yeah.
Because if it's a case of Roger that has led to this, then liberals, pardon me if I make this legal statement. If I'm wrong, I take correction. They will be looking at a case of involuntary manslaughter, if it is true that the lorry was escaping some Roger issues, then we should hold those guys responsible because they are the primary cause of the accident. But let's see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes. We're going to go pick up the Punch right away. Let's do the Punch Metro here. Yes. Here we go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is to give you an idea of some of the news that you'd read. Some of them will confound you. Punch Metro. Bright's father, two others killed in Bauchi crash, buried amidst tears. Buhari, Tinubu, others mourn. Ojojo student school shot. Good. Gunmen invade Imo community and kill two. Destroy property. Rivers man attempts suicide for losing service to Forex scam, and police have arrested the victim. FRS official attempting to rescue man shot dead in Ondo. Suspected traffic robber nabbed in Lagos. There are loads of them. FCDA demolishes Abuja houses. churches, victims allege victimization. They always do that. Always do that. We do the wrong things and then say that it's because we are short or because we are black that we are being victimized. Like Nigeria says, the UK issue is a case of apartheid. Agency urges boys to end violence against girls. That's from Mrs. Titilola Viva Adeniyi. By the way, what happened to the woman on yesterday on radio who said she wanted to commit suicide?
Yes, she's been reached out. So Olumide reached out to her.
Did he get her eventually?
Her phone was off.
Off.
Yeah, but I've not gotten back to Olumide yet to check out if eventually.
Did you listen yesterday to a woman who called in and said she wanted to commit suicide? Having problems with the husband. I'm sure the husband could have seized the phone.
We don't know.
Well, in case the woman is listening, if you can find a way to call us again, we'll be more than glad to take on your case. All you need is just one more call to give us your name and address, and we'll do the rest. Okay? Or anybody who is related to her or who knows about the case, give us a call in the studio. And we'll take it up from there. Am I right?
Yes.
Look at me blabbing my mouth. I don't even have the authority to do that.
Well, Olumide does. Olumide, he tried severally from what he told me yesterday.
Yeah, he couldn't go the line. Yeah, I think he seized her phone, most likely.
Okay.
But it frightened me. I was, and quite a number of people called yesterday. They were troubled. The woman sounded so desperate.
Yeah? It was scary, actually.
Yeah, scary.
It's scary.
Man and woman matter.
We're going to go to page 36 now. Page 36, jailbreak. We are making correctional centers impregnable. FG.
Well, it's not a case of making correctional centers impregnable. Honest to God, truth is that our prisons are seriously congested. You remember, Sheriff, about 2-3 years back, the one jailbreak was done with the aid of explosives. So how impregnable can you make it without the loss of lives and attendant, whatever? I think we need to take a second look at our legal system. And, let's be a bit more innovative about how we carry out certain sentences. There was a man I remember in the days of, I think it was days of Idi Agbon, who crossed the express, was arrested by war against the discipline then.
Okay.
He couldn't roger them, he couldn't do anything. He was in jail for 2 years for crossing an express. He wasn't even found guilty. What we need to do is we need to look at the case of awaiting trials. Some of those trials are a bit quote-unquote trivial and can be handled. Should we put a permanent magistrate or somebody who goes there weekly to dispense of all these cases of people who can't afford bail of 5,000 and shorty and whatever and decongest the prisons? Then we also need to do something concrete about those who are facing death sentences. They are difficult to control. I mean, a man has been sentenced to death. What can you threaten him with, Sheriff? But they're languishing there. Some have been there 10, 15, 20 years because some of our governors won't sign. We need to put something in the laws that makes it mandatory. For as long as we have the death sentence, if a man is sentenced to death and the death sentence is not confirmed within 24 months, they should let him go home. Rather than keep these people, I think they're the biggest of the troublemakers in the prisons. There's a need to decongest. I haven't been to the prisons lately. I don't think I've been to the prisons for a while. But from the stories that one hears, the stories are horrible. Some of the pictures that you see, 50, 60, 70, 80 people in a room made for just about 20 people. And if you say it's a correctional center, how can you correct somebody living under such circumstance? Gone are the days in the 70s. I'll never forget when I used to cover. There's a court that called it was called St. Anna Court. Behind my friend Akitoye lived in that area. Akitoye, he's a lawyer now, lived in that neighborhood. And then I was working for the Daily Times. I covered the court. You'll find some people who are attached to court. They say they should do quick. It's almost lunchtime in prison. People even prefer to go to prison to go and live. They were well looked after. But what you have now is worse than what you find in poultry.
All right. We're going to do one last story this morning, and that's coming through from the Punch, page 9 of the Punch. The story says, 9.7 billion naira fraud, 4.7 billion naira property bought with Esther Code. Farming, says Air Force Chief Diko.
This report, we cannot comment on what is going on in court, but we want to read to you the news that we have from a trial that is going on, just so you can notice the developments. The story says the trial of a former chief of air staff, Air Marshal Umar Diko. Remember, the one of yesterday was, I think, of a former chief of army staff. Now, this is an air staff. Before Justice Nnamdi Dingba, with the continuation of the cross-examination, Diko told the court, he told the court that he bought properties worth $4.7 billion through Estaco's earned from training and flying many African presidents. Well, we can't comment on that. Just so you know, he said at the year 12, it's been arranged since 2017 by the EFCC on a 7-count charge of money laundering and procurement fraud to the tune of $9.7 billion. How much was that of yesterday?
Okay. I can't remember.
I don't know. Okay. Yeah. But so this is what the man said in court yesterday, and it's left for the judge to believe him or not. He says that for the 36 years of my service, my lord, I served in the presidential fleet for 17 years. Most of the flights I took were external trips outside Nigeria, and I went on many training trips outside the country. Diko further disclosed that he flew all African presidents during his years in service, except the presidents of Cote d'Ivoire and Togo. I have learned a lot of estacos, lots of foreign trips, and 2 farms in Abuja with about 17 hectares of land and the other two in Kaduna are 4 hectares and 200 hectares respectively. I have been a farmer throughout my life. That's farming. So the court asked why he did not provide the court with the documents to back up his claims about the estacos. He said nobody asked him to do so. He was not asked to do so. So he didn't. However, added that he mentioned it in his extrajudicial statement to the EFCC. If he mentioned, well, it's not, I won't talk about that. Diko told the court that the Nigerian Air Force has his own way of operations, adding that the service had no e-payment system during his time. A statement by the EFCC spokesman, Wilson Uwudaren, titled Ex-Air Chief Diko tells the court how he acquired properties worth $4.7 billion, said documented evidence before the court shows that while Diko was in office, he received his salary through the bank. Also, pages 22 to 472 in the exhibit shows e-transactions for upkeep to some underlisted officers. And those transactions happened in August 2012 when the defendant was the chief of air staff. Justice Dingba has adjourned the case till the 1st of March 2022 for adoption of final address, and therein lies the end of the story on how a former chief of air staff was able to acquire, or he says he was able to acquire, $4.7 billion property. But remember, the amount in question, the fraud amount, you know, the amount mentioned in the fraud case itself is $9.7 billion. So we still have a deficit of $3 billion to fill.
President Buhari is in Lagos today. He's in VI today.
If you don't have any business, don't come to Lagos. If you live in Ajao area too, don't try and see if you can stay home. My contact in Ajao said, I don't call him this morning. Stay home. Stay home.
And some people have criticized the president's frequent foreign trips lately.
Well, a man's got to do what he's got to do. I'm no longer interested in what the president does or doesn't do. I'm more focused on having a change in 2023. He's been with us for this long. We know his style. He does the unconventional. But that's the way he wants to do his things. And when we elected him president, even though we didn't know he would be doing things in this way, but we have to learn to live with it. Yeah. I'm not going to waste my gray matter on criticizing this president. We now know him. Whether you can spend the next 2 years, he won't even listen to you, won't react, nothing. So I'm not going to waste valuable time. Go and get, good friend Kelvin said this morning.
Yeah.
Go and get your voter's card and let us retire all this. Let us have a new beginning in 2023. That's what concerns me. That's what concerns me. Let us have a new beginning. Let us have a president that we can look at in the Committee of Nations. The way when we were young, we looked up to the likes of Zeke and even Yakubu Gawan, who was a lieutenant colonel then of the Nigerian Army. Anywhere Yakubu Gawan stood, you will be proud, you feel good, you feel happy. On Independence Day, with him and Admiral Way and so on, we had strong officers. I don't know what has happened to my country. This is not letting down anybody. But surely, we are not producing our first, second, or third 11. Nigeria deserves, that is what made the likes of Professor Tomori weep uncontrollably.
Yes.
It wasn't just because of what he was reading. Do you think it happens only to Professor Tomori? How many times have I walked out of this studio just wiping my eyes so that, Mama Fimishi, it's a very painful thing. With the kind of, look at, how could I feel good as a Nigerian that the United Kingdom does the right thing by saying that my people, some of the test results we bring, they are not authentic. There were two Nigerians we hear who said that they were vaccinated. Mm. On getting to the UK, they found that they caught the COVID. Further tests revealed you had a certificate. Blood tests revealed there was no vaccine in them. And they did the meaningful. And you expect me to feel proud that my own minister or my ambassador will be talking of apartheid when in reality he knows the truth.
Do you know that program that Professor Tomori went for?
Yes.
He wept and everything.
Yes.
The Senate president was there. But guess what?
Yes.
Principals at the Ministry of Health were not there. Minister of Health was not there, Osagie. Minister of Health, Mamura, was not there. Permanent Secretary of the Ministry was not there.
Our country, and
they were there to talk about our health
system. Is this the same country that produced the likes of Professor Lambo, Esso Adebo, from the civil service? Is this the same country that had powerful PAMSECs? I don't understand. So I'm not going to waste valuable time.
We must go now.
Why did you cut me short?
I'm sorry. Sorry, no, they're paying you.
Okay, let me say it and then
you
can. Listen to your number one station for talk, 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.